Blog Talk Radio.
It's been an interesting week. We actually had two interesting weeks. Last week with the Republican National Convention taking place in Tampa, Florida, and now this week with the Democratic National Convention taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to talk to you about the intersection of multiculturalism and politics. They do intersect, the importance of both, and how we need to be prepared not only to live a multicultural, transparent life, but also keeping in mind the impact of politics. We're going to talk about the intersection of both. Last week, we talked about it from the perspective of the Republican National Convention. This week, from the Democratic National Convention. And before that, we're going to bring on a very special guest talking about sickle cell and a very important event on September 16th, Celebration in the Park with Sickle Cell Association and Sickle Cell Anemia at the forefront. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas. I'm so glad that you've joined us today. I am hoping that those who were in the path of Hurricane Isaac are beginning their cleanup. I know that it was quite an ordeal last week in the New Orleans, Mississippi area. It just traveled throughout the central part of the United States and then over to the Chicago, Michigan area. And we got the backdrop of it yesterday. Lights went out in my house and all that good stuff, but now they're back on, and hopefully that storm will just sort of meander its way into nothingness. We have two other storms we're paying attention to now, one that is headed toward Bermuda, and another one that is, I guess, the aftermath or whatever of Hurricane Isaac. So we are definitely in a very stormy season as we speak. And hopefully hurricane season will wind down very quickly, and we won't have any kind of episodes like this going forward. I've been paying a lot of attention to the Democratic Convention, and I'll talk to you about that a little later on. I am a Democrat, full disclosure, but I made sure I also listened to as much as I could of the Republican Committee Convention so that I could compare and contrast and really get a sense of what the issues are related to both parties. And we'll talk about that, the impact of Bill Clinton's message last night, which was absolutely astoundingly good. Mrs. Obama's a wonderful, wonderful message, Elizabeth Warren, and so many others this week. So we'll talk to you about that in just a few minutes. And I've been heavily involved in Facebook and Twitter for the last 2.5 days. I've been talking to people around the country and outside of the country as a result of these two conventions that are literally going to shape the future of the United States. They're that important. I was talking with someone earlier who said, oh, I don't know about this. I said, oh, yeah, you do need to pay attention, and I will tell you why in just a few minutes. I'm excited because we are having more people interested and more people signing up for the upcoming cruise that is taking place on April 13th to the 20th of next year. This is our first cultural Caribbean cruise. Dr. Ada McKenzie is going to be our very special guest talking about the various islands in the Caribbean seas, should I say, their traditions, their values, how important they are, and we're going to mix that in with a lot of fun as well. This will take place April 13th to the 20th next year, 8-day cruise, 7 nights on the celebrity series New Ship Reflections. I'm just really excited about it. You can go to www.mssconnect.com. That's www.mssconnect.com to learn more about it. And also go to tellcarole.com, TellCarole.com, to learn more about my new book, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, to Your Home, and to Your Community. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. So as we begin the show, I want to bring on a very special guest, Dr. Patricia Cavanaugh, who is going to talk to us about a very exciting event coming up in Boston called the Celebration in the Park. Dr. Patricia Cavanaugh, who is the board chair of the Greater Boston Sickle Cell Disease Association, thank you so much for being a guest on my program.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start off at the very beginning, because we have guests, we have listeners who are out of the area. They live elsewhere. They may or may not be able to participate with this wonderful event, but they're curious. They want to know, what is sickle cell disease? You used to call it sickle cell anemia. Can you share with us what that is and tell us about that sickle cell trait?
Absolutely. So sickle cell disease is actually a big umbrella, of which sickle cell anemia is one of. So sickle cell disease, what is it? It's actually a disorder of the red blood cell. Your red blood cells are in charge of carrying oxygen throughout your body, and those who are born with sickle cell disease, this is an inherited condition, their red blood cells are different from those who have normal red blood cells. And so what happens is that their red blood cells, there's a molecule in there called hemoglobin, and that's the molecule that binds oxygen. Their hemoglobin is different. It's a sickle hemoglobin. And that's what causes it, if the oxygen level is too low, to form a crescent shape, a sickle shape. They are anemic. You hear a lot about anemia with them, because their red blood cells only last about 2 weeks, where you and I, Carol, probably have red blood cells that last 120 days.
Wow.
And so 4 months versus 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it does cause anemia, but it causes a lot more. Mm-hmm. So for those of us who know a lot of patients with sickle cell disease, pain is something that a lot of people grow, you know, get used to over time. When they're children, they can start being as young as 9 months old.
Wow.
And then adults, up to a third of adults, have pain every day of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very... it's a very common condition. It's the most commonly inherited condition in the United States, yet so many don't know enough about it.
Well, the interesting thing, I always associate it with African Americans, and the information says that it affects 1 in 12 blacks in the United States. Why is that?
So when you think about it, African Americans came to this country through the slave trade, unfortunately. And so it's actually from sub-Saharan Africa. That is where the sickle cell disease is most common. So if you go to Nigeria, go to Congo, sickle cell disease is very, very common.
Hmm.
And so when you come to the U.S., that's why you see it a lot in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
However, the one thing that we need to think about, you need to think broader. It's actually very prevalent in the Caribbean communities.
Mm-hmm.
Because the slave trade also went there, to Haiti, to Dominican
right.
Republic, Puerto mm-hmm. Rico. It also went to Brazil. And so there's actually a lot of Brazilians and those in Central America where they went to plantations. So sickle cell disease, you know, definitely affects our Latino population. But I'd like to broaden the map even further. It's actually a disease that you see all around the Mediterranean. You see it in India. You see it in even the Far East.
Now, why is that?
The sickle cell trait, and I'll talk about that in a minute, is actually protective against malaria. And the reason for that is the sickle cell disease is an inherited condition. Both parents are carriers. They have a little bit of sickle hemoglobin in their red blood cells, just a little bit. Most of the time, 99.99% of the time, they will not have an issue. So they don't know they have it. But if they come together, have a child, they have a 1 in 4 chance of having a child with sickle cell disease.
Mm-hmm.
But for those with traits, when you go to a tropical area especially, it's actually protective because the malaria, the bug that causes malaria, can't infect your red blood cells as easily. You still get malaria, but you don't die as frequently from it.
Hmm.
So it's a protective gene for those who have traits.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big problem for those who have disease. What I'm trying to say is that white people had it too, in Greece, in Sicily. And if you think about the Vikings going up and down the coast, it's even in Northern Europeans, just not as frequently.
But so what I'm hearing is that with those of the African diaspora, sub-Saharan African diaspora, they have a tendency to more frequently have this disease to expand itself beyond just being a trait. Is that what I'm hearing, Dr.
That
Kavanaugh?
Is, That is correct. So a lot more people from those countries have sickle cell traits. And so when they go to have children, they will have disease. So, and then there are a lot of children and adults in those countries with sickle cell disease. That is right.
Interesting. You have a very important event that is coming up. You chair the board of the Greater Boston Sickle Cell Disease Association, and you have an event coming up on September 15th called Sickle Celebration in the Park. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so this is a very this is our second annual event. The main goal of it is to raise awareness about sickle cell disease. So in the morning, we're actually going to be having a 5K walk around Franklin Park, which is one of our parks in the city of Boston. And it's going to take place within the park. It'll be two loops. So those with sickle cell, our patients with sickle cell disease, if they only want to go 1.5 miles, they certainly can. But from 10 to 12, there will be a 5K walk. Starting at noontime, however, from noon to 4 p.m., we will be having a multicultural festival as well as a health fair. So for the multicultural festival, we will have Indian dancers, we will have gospel singers, we're going to have a DJ perform. So it's really going to cover the and Irish dancers as well. So we're really trying to capture a little bit of everyone in that event. And then on the side, there will be demonstrations. There's going to be a karate demonstration, Zumba. There's also going to be a kids zone because we have a lot of children who come to this event. So facing balloons, clowns. And so, but the goal is to really educate people around sickle cell disease. Also do a little bit of screening, blood pressure screening for those who are coming to the event just to support those with sickle cell. And then to have fun.
Wow, that's... Sounds like a great event. I know you're expecting several hundred to attend. You are quite busy as a pediatrician and researcher at the Division of General Pediatrics at Boston University School of Medicine and Boston Medical Center. So I can imagine how busy your life is with the research that you're doing and chairing this very important board. We had Reverend Stevenson on the last time with the last event that you had, so I'm quite happy that that you are now on and doing great things. So I just appreciate you so much. Anything else you want to share with our listeners, maybe a contact number or a website where people can go and find out more about the September 15th event and also about sickle cell, Dr. Kavanaugh?
Yeah, so the easiest way to reach us is, so we, our organization is Greater Boston Sickle Cell Disease Association. So it's www.gbscda.org. That is the easiest way to find us. We have a lot of links to other sources of information around sickle cell disease. And that also gives you links to, if you want to volunteer at the event or join us as a walker, we would love to do that. If you go to that website, everything is right there to participate.
Great. Thank you so, so much. I appreciate all that you're doing. The commitment that you have, obviously, to somehow eradicating this so that it does not become, full-blown sickle cell, moving from the trait to an active disease that debilitates an awful lot of, I see younger women who are affected by this, and you have very skillfully shared with us the information about how it is everywhere, but certainly those of sub-Saharan African descent have a bigger impact, has a bigger impact on their lives. Dr. Kavanaugh, thank you so much for being a guest on my program.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
I hope that others will, you know, learn more about sickle cell. I've known about the disease for many, many years. It is quite debilitating, and to see younger women who are hospitalized off and on and those who have the disease, it's quite stressful, I'm sure, on family members, on spouses and others taking care of children as well. But this is a great event coming up on September 15th, and I hope that those in the greater Boston area will go ahead and participate. Franklin Park, everyone in Boston knows where Franklin Park is in the Dorchester-Roxbury area. Beautiful park, and you'll have a chance to participate. So we always want to stay connected to the community and provide this kind of information going forward. I want to shift back now and just talk about this week's conference, the convention, the Democratic National Convention. I just think about 2004 when the convention came to Boston, and I was actually very actively involved in it. We had a brand new convention center. I chair the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau Multicultural Committee and was very actively involved from that perspective, but also excited because I had an opportunity in 2004 during that July time period to speak to the Hawaiian delegation. And that delegation, they have many, what you see on television at night for an hour is just like a tenth of what goes on. There are meetings, there are rallies, there are symposiums that take place, they have committee caucuses. There's just an awful lot that goes on in the arena that they choose. With us, it was the Fleet Center and or other type arenas, because typically the entire conference meets as a stadium. So it's an opportunity for the entire Democratic delegation to come together. There's some 6,000 delegates that are there. And so at night, they have the various speeches that you're hearing. You're hearing just prime time, the last keynote speech. But the speeches actually begin at 5 o'clock. So at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, that's when the opening of the general session takes place. But before that, there are lots of other activities that take place, around the local hotels. And obviously after the last speech is given, they have parties galore. So it is just one fun fest. And particularly for those who are very interested in politics, it's just the place to be. So in 2004, I had the opportunity to be a part of the conference, of the convention. The very day that Barack Obama, who was running for U.S. Senate, he was a state senator, so he was Senator Obama from the state of Illinois, but he was running for senator for the whole state of Illinois, the U.S. senator for the state of Illinois. He's from Hawaii. I had the good pleasure of speaking to the Hawaiian delegation, gave a breakfast keynote address, and I was well received. It was just a great event. But I remember how they were all just really caught up in talking to Barry. They wanted to see Barry. Lo and behold, they were talking about Barack Obama because obviously he was from Hawaii. So they had the privilege of being in Boston and then hearing Barack Obama that evening give that dynamic keynote speech, which, quote, introduced him to the world. I have my sign that says Obama 04 that I have kept, and I actually put it on Facebook and Twitter because I've been actively involved in what's going on and posting a lot of my tweets and posting blog entries as well. So that was my first national convention experience. Fast forward to now, 2012, I've also been a part of a Republican inauguration with George Herbert Walker Bush, as I had mentioned earlier last week. I've been to state Republican conventions. So I have been on both sides. And as a Democrat, but as a journalist in a way, and with the work that I do, I think it's important for me to report all aspects of the news. Now, what I'm going to ask you, I'm going to actually have some homework assignments for you, because we have the last speech coming up tonight where President Barack Obama will give his acceptance speech, and it will be closely watched, and there will be a parade of other speakers who will come up in between that time. The website I'd like for you to go to, and you can visit this website after the fact as well, is www.demconvention.com, demconvention.com. That is the official website for the Democratic National Convention. And on that website, if you go to schedule and then go to today's date, you can then download. It'll have to be a cut-and-paste job. You can leave it on the screen, but you can also cut and paste it out. It'll be about a 10-page agenda of all of the speakers that will appear tonight, including the Los Angeles mayor who will open up the session, and then you'll have your invocation that will be given. Last night, the invocation was given by Bishop Vashti Murphy McKenzie, who is an AME bishop. I am an AME. She's very active in the Democratic Party as well, and chairs the Credentials Committee, I believe, and has been on now for two consecutive evenings. And then last night, it was very exciting because Gabby Douglas, the Olympic gymnast who won the gold medal in London just a few weeks ago, recited the Pledge of Allegiance. And so that was a big thrill at the 5 o'clock hour. Tonight, we understand, I think, Gabby Gifford may be the person who will deliver the Pledge of Allegiance, will recite the Pledge of Allegiance this evening. And then from that point on, they'll do a little bit of business, and it'll be one speech after the other. Some politicians, people who are active in the nonprofit community, just a range of speakers will be on board. The energy and the excitement with this conference has been absolutely electric compared to last week's conference. I just have to be honest. This conference has been a lot more energetic, a lot more spirited, focused definitely on the Democratic platform that was accepted yesterday, I believe, yesterday or day before yesterday, but talking specifically about the issues that have been accepted across the board with the Democratic Party, including the acceptance of marriage between two of the same sex. So LGBT issues are at the forefront, trying to get some kind of immigration reform at the forefront. Dealing with social issues, and education has been hit hard over and over again, and also health care, and now they've just taken what was negatively perceived as Obamacare, has been artfully turned into Obama really cares, or Obama does care. And several of the speakers have actually talked about that, so it's been absolutely amazing. Now, what I'd also encourage you to do is to watch whatever you can watch, and all this is going to be archived, and you can go online and deal with it after the fact, but I would encourage you to watch the speech, particularly President Obama's speech this evening, or you can do it after the fact. Go to C-SPAN and watch it. If you have cable, you can go to C-SPAN and watch it, or at this dimconvention.com, they are also going to be streaming live. I'm not sure what time they'll start the streaming, but you can go there. But if you have cable, go to cspan.org. And the reason why is that nothing, there are no commercials. They at 5 o'clock, they begin, and at last night it was 11 a.m. It was actually 1 o'clock in the morning by the time we got through the roll call, and that brilliant speech by Bill Clinton was delivered. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, and then finally they end up. But through C-SPAN, you can watch everything live, unfiltered, no political pundits. And why do I want you to do this? Because I want you to make up your own mind about what's taking place. I want you to make up your own mind. I want you to come to your own kind of conclusion about multiculturalism and diversity as it relates to the various parties, and particularly the Republican platform and the Democratic platform. We had earlier in the chat room Rick from Newcastle. I would have loved to debate with him, but he's gone on. But he left a comment in the chat room. He said, from Newcastle, he said, people prefer to be with their own, and that's not a negative thing. It's not ill feelings toward others, but a yearning to be with your own. That's true for all peoples, and I absolutely agree with him on that. I think there's nothing wrong with being with your own, being clannish from a point of view. The importance of diversity is it is important to make sure that you are expanding your circle and that you are including other communities, other people in the conversation and the work that you do. Rick also says, he said, Carol, it's my understanding that blacks were not pushing for integrated societies such as what was done with forced busing. I would have loved to have had a conversation, and I hope you'll come back and chat with us with a future show. But I realize I've been doing diversity work for 25 years. I realize two things. Number one is that there is going to be a difference of opinion with everyone. There's 7 billion people on the planet, over 300 million in the United States. We're not all going to believe in the same thing. I also know that politics has everything to do with life. So those of you who say that you're too tired or you're too busy or you're just not even interested in politics or it doesn't make any difference, please understand that particularly with this upcoming election, whether it's today's primary today in Massachusetts, when I, a little bit later on, I'm going to go up to my local polling place and cast my vote for the candidates of my choice in the primary here in Massachusetts, and I'll do the same thing on November 6th of this year when we have the presidential election. Whether you're talking about voting, whether you're talking about drinking water, whether you're talking about the lights that you turn on, the transportation that you take, all of that, and particularly the jobs that you have, all of that impacts and has some intersection with politics. So I really think increasingly it is short-sighted of most people who take a dim view on politics, who don't want to get involved, who are tired, regardless of what their job happens to be. To be informed is to be an aware citizen of your country. And in the United States, since you are free to believe whatever you want to and practice whatever belief you want to, I think it's incumbent upon you to really get involved. It is also incumbent upon you to vote. And what I've loved about the Democratic Convention that I've heard this week is this whole thing about don't boo, just vote. Don't boo, just vote. There have been many highlights with the Democratic Convention. I have seen local people that I know, Councilman Tito Jackson with the Boston City Council, Ayanna Pressley and Felix Arroyo actually cast the 128 votes last night for Barack Obama during the roll call. The thrilling speech, I could spend hours talking about Bill Clinton's speech, absolute hours talking about his speech, unbelievably detailed, carefully delivered. He totally went off script in some instances, but he knew what he was doing, and he has such a command for getting in touch with people and connecting with people. I watched the faces of those who were sitting in the arena, just raptured with his every move and all the words that he had to say. The funny lines about people asking him about how did he balance the budget, 4 years in a row, and how did you do what you did when you were in office, and his one-word response was arithmetic. That was just such a great line. And to watch him masterfully give that speech was incredible. But there was also Michelle Obama. Her speech was elegant, dignified, certainly very celebratory and respectful of all of the military families that she has been so closely watching. That was just a great speech. I was impressed with last night with Sandra Fluke, who got up and who's the Georgetown Law School graduate who has confronted Rush Limbaugh, and he was very disrespectful of her, but how her words are very meaningful and rang out yesterday with her speech. There was also Representative Cleaver from, I believe it's Kansas, who spoke, and he just wowed the crowd last night. So you have a chance to hear, you know, good old-fashioned political statements, but you also get a sense of where these political parties are headed, what their platform agendas are, and how you do or how you don't fit in. This is Representative Emanuel Cleaver I was talking about, who just wowed the crowd. He's the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus and a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Missouri, and just did an outstanding job. And the night before was equally as electric. It's been an interesting this Democratic Convention has been so much more spirited and, goodness knows, so much more diverse than the other conference. Again, I watched just about all of the Republican convention, and it was a sea of white people, quite honestly with you, versus the Democratic convention, which had just about every kind of American there, every kind of American represented, whether they had lots of buttons on or whether they had their military uniforms on. The diversity was obvious. So the question is for you, when you look at multiculturalism, when you look at diversity and inclusion, what party represents you? That's the ultimate question. Can you listen to President Obama's message and see yourself in the message that he is going to deliver tonight? How can you get involved in the political structure in a meaningful way where you can join in the conversation? Those are the questions you want to ask yourself, because let me tell you, you are impacted by politics whether you want to admit it or not. It's time to get educated. It's time to really understand the importance of it, because our country is going to be moved forward progressively or not based on politics. Thanks so much for listening. We're going to talk a lot more about going forward. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Take care.